Now, you think it's gonna work now?
Yeah. It looks like it's working. I bought one of these, but it didn't work right.
Oh.
And then they had me driving all over the countryside. So this is gonna work.
All right.
Where should we go?
We can go front.
Okay, this is a nice house. I've been so distraught. I've never been in this house. This is the old twin. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I thought she owned Twin Pines with her.
Oh, how wonderful. Did they leave any milk bottles? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so we got
this is a great room. Oh, I have your windows.
Right here.
Okay. Where do you like to sit?
I am right here behind me.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought maybe you had to throw it into the
No, because Grace had saved us. She had the whatever.
Do you take sugar in your tea?
No.
Grace and I got a good this morning, went to the service.
James, you want some sugar in your tea?
Yes, ma'am.
You went to the service?
Yeah, and
what service?
Then, that's
we had our car service.
Oh, the service? Oh, I thought you meant like
and,
church.
then we come back home, and I had to go back and pick up the other car because it took long on it. I get back there, the guys with lunch, and they was poking there. Was they poking there?
Sounds like my day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
Monday what it was. I had to go to service because my Chrysler was shooting smoke out of it, and I went up there and found out I need a module. You know, these new cars, you can't work on them. That's the trouble. I said, I can't work on any of
them. They don't
cars.
Want you to work on them. They want,
they don't want you to work on them. See,
no.
Now, when I left the plant, I could fix anything it was. But now I can't fix nothing because all of them has got computers on
them.
Right. It's really amazing.
Okay, you can read this later, but this is the description of the project, which is basically an oral history of the black community. Turn this off.
We see my history with Detroit, date from 1937.
Okay.
And I came here in 37. I bombed, come here like the most people came in 37, hobo. From Alabama.
Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
You came on the train?
I came on the freight train.
On the freight train?
Yes. I walked from the woods to 940 Theater. At that time, 8th Street was the boom street of Detroit. And all black people were more or less at that time from Brush over to Russell. And from Russell over, it was more Romanian, Bulgarian, Hungarian, Yugoslav, and all was moving around that area. Sandwich in between, changed to where Italian was all there at that time.
Okay.
You see? And so the black was in the strip, straight up from Paradise Valley up to Pittsburgh. And then Hopper was four whites. Then blacks at that time were in a little section over on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. That was from the boulevard on the west side back about 10 blocks, I'd say, kind of back towards that end. This is not this section. Then another section of blacks is up there where Chrysler's Plant is now.
Okay.
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 That was all the blacks in Detroit. Oh no, I say back there was about one street out here back of Christ on Food Street.
And Food? Okay.
Well, right in there. That's not Food they were on, because Food runs this way. It's Food and Clairpoint.
Okay.
Clairpoint and Food. It was some one group of blacks. I don't know how they got back there. Because back there was mostly fellows and women who worked at Christ, and they were mostly Bulgarian and Romanians and that, okay? That is where all the blacks were. They were north at that time. You was getting ready to get in the sticks. You got liberated. All right? Now that's 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Davis, when you got to Davis, you were in Detroit, right? You're going north. Or at the end, you have nothing like the Davis, Mr. Presley, or nothing like that. That was being cornfields, but of course, there's. So these kind of gaps were there. And, so Detroit was down primarily between Davis and on the north, and you're going south. Livermore is on the west, and then, of course, you couldn't tell over the east, because there's always good sweat out there. Mm-hmm. Now, but all the blacks were inside from Chain Street back downtown on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And now from downtown, from Paradise Valley, up to, as I say, to Midway.
Okay.
And then that was that beach that was up there on what we call the North End at that time. North End at that time was right around there where Chrysler's plant is. All back to there. See,
you mean the Chrysler plant in Highland Park?
Yeah. All
okay.
Right. Down from it, straight down in there, where the whole summer of the black, come all the way down to the boulevard.
Okay.
Okay. They went up, Oakland. To the old Oakland street car was right
okay.
Up the street. Oakland. So that's the area down there. And as I say, that conclave of blacks on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Over there. Other than that, that's where all the black people are.
And where did you say you lived?
I lived, when I first came out, I lived at 940 Fiddle. That's between Hastings and Revolt. Then I lived at 420 Fiddle. That's the one called a bogey on Fiddle.
Okay.
And then after that, I must be living in Lockport. In those days, people were rumored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in fact, when my first kid was born, I was still rumored. I paid $3 and made me pay an extra 50 cents a week for the lights. Even though the lights wasn't called no, it was $2 for the whole month. So I paid all the light bills, but that's what they would do when you were a baby. Or to say you born more light when you have a baby. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and in that time, most people in Detroit were rumored. Because most men stayed here singing and sit back for the family.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, black and white people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was white coming from Europe mostly at that time.
So you lived in a big house?
I lived in high room with people.
Yeah.
You get a room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there may be two rooms, other rooms of living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in one house where there was a man, and her baby, and daughter, me and my wife, and daughter. Yes, and then the landlady, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anybody who got kind of semi-proper would rent a 16 house and rent out two rooms to more to help pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Those days people were still having rent parties
mm-hmm.
to help pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you got to remember this is Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And people would run East Market on Saturday afternoon to get pick up all their food down that
mm-hmm.
street.
Yeah, Tom Disco was telling me about
all right.
That. They still do.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
some people
were in those days, they were doing it for real. And
yeah.
Then they also, they had a lot of soup kitchens was in the toilet in those days.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure, because that's the first time I ever saw white people hungry.
Because
down south, nobody was hungry, not even black, because we always had chickens, hogs, and cows down south.
Yeah.
Down south, people were ragged.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have no shoes, no clothes much.
But you had chicken.
But you had plenty of food.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right. But when I came to Detroit, people didn't have no food.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be a land of soup kitchens and soup lines. All right?
Were the soup kitchens segregated?
No, they weren't segregated. All right. Now, but you remember the black community itself was segregated.
Mm-hmm. But you could go, I mean, you couldn't go to restaurants, but you could go to the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Right?
And then you could go to restaurants you went to, and that day, believe it or not, it was downtown. But not over in the fast restaurant. Over on Randolph, in that area, they had lots of restaurants where for 25 cents you could get all you could eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right? Now, that was downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That was only
ways you could eat downtown. Right in that area there. Near
along Randolph and...
Yeah, near Sand Foot Reef.
Okay.
Down in there, okay?
There's a...
After Gratiot. They ran down to Gratiot in that area, okay?
There was a place with an old sign called the Baltimore Lunch.
Yeah.
That, I'll bet, was from those days.
Yeah, now, of course, you could go on down to Valley, but if you went to Valley, you was already back in just the black community, see?
Okay.
But see you around there, what they want to call it, the historic area there. All in there was cheap restaurants.
Well,
what's that street coming across to go through, go across? Not Cadillac Square, but behind Cadillac Square. Big
okay.
Street. Or right, you go down Gratiot. You're torn. Go on across the river. You think of it.
Okay.
Wherever, you see where they got boated up? Downtown is going to fix all the historic buildings.
All on Grand Circus Park?
No. It's further down in town. It's right back of the...
Monroe Block.
Monroe. On Monroe they had... Who was the rough of that? Cheap theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And there blacks were going no places downtown. No blacks came on the west side downtown.
Oh, so just east of Woodward?
East of Woodward. I would say everything took place east of Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so see, there was nothing in the blacks except up there, as I say, over on the west side of them, that was completely. Off of Warren Avenue in the Grand Boulevard, along by where that funeral home is over there on the Grand Boulevard and Warren on the west side.
Okay.
I think they know that funeral home. Well, it was always a conclave of blacks down there that went all the way just about to Epworth.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on Epworth, but right up to Epworth, out north.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when they started, after you cross Grand River going out of Rome, that whole section, that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That whole section. Well, now, that was some black, that was the west side blacks.
Mm-hmm.
They were what we used to call, we thought was the elite blacks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't necessarily were elite, but because they lived on the west side, they thought they were elite.
Mm-hmm.
They would come over on Hastings Street and raise hell on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night, and then go back on the west side and think you've got to be in the west.
Sounds like the suburbs.
The suburbanites, but these were blacks. Yeah, I know, but today, yes, the everybody on the east side was always looked down on by the folks on the west side, and the old days, right, today, even though they still do it, it don't mean nothing, yeah, but in those days, I live on the west side, people would be better than the people on the east side, women's would be better, women's on the west side, but that was primarily because Hastings Street was rough. But Hastings Street, in reality, was not so rough as people think. It was the street that people come to drink, go to bars and dance and up and down Hastings Street all the way up. But, yeah, most of what you'd have is fights in those days. Nobody had a gun. So there was a lot of clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
China.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And people get cut up and they go to jail and they sew them up and go down to receive them and sew them up and they go on wet money moan. He's the only with the advent of the gun that people kill people.
Yeah.
But most times, a lot of people would have mobs on them where they got cut.
Uh-huh.
But they wasn't, So now that, in general, is what I came into in 37.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went some on WPA. I went some from Timothy, and then I went on WPA. Then I went from WPA back to the 37, and then eventually I went to classes. But this is beginning of the war, that's for the war, okay? And so now I go into the play.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the play for this and then I went to the play in 68.
You worked at Ford now?
Chrysler.
Mm-hmm. You worked at Chrysler.
Mm-hmm. That's just.
When did you start working there?
41.
Mm-hmm. Let me test this, see how we... Okay.
Now I would say you want to reflect the chart pre-World War II. But I know some of my old time was probably 3 years on that. That's before the war.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about the 30s.
See, that is when the black population is very small. You have to check what the population
is. Oh, yeah, I have it.
You got what the population was, small. Because see, the black population, much was.
It did, it kept doubling.
Yeah. See, what happened, the First World War, as I understand, that part, I didn't give it that. First World brought some.
Yeah.
And that was when you had the Dr. Sweet case and all that. You probably got all that. All right, that took place before I got here. But see, when I got here, the population was still small, because you can just see how small the area they was congested in. But I think you need to get the pre-war control and some of the events that took place. And then you need to get the war period, because the war period is where the population really swelled.
Okay.
And also, the war population brought two people new into the city. Prior to that, you had mostly foreign, what I call foreign. I mean, people came from Poland, Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria,
and
Irish. Okay? Mm-hmm. And two sets of Irish, Big Shot Irish and Shanty Irish.
Okay.
Right.
Shanty Irish?
Yeah, Shanty Irish. They hung out down from Bridge Stadium all the way back down the town. Okay. Did lots of drinking and stuff. All right, now. And then there was a few Belgians, but they were on the east side. It wasn't long before the Belgians went to Grove Point, and they was all, there ain't no Belgians down from here now. But they was even at that time, the Belgians, because it was a few that were. And a few French that they were.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I went across, there were a few French and a few Belgians still working in France.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, there's no more Belgians and Frenchers in France, unless they were upper Belgians.
Okay.
All right, now. Little Italian was here in this section, all the way through, and some Germans, okay?
Because they just kind of moved right out Gratiot.
Yeah, and moved on out, see? Now, all the Italians live in Roseville, but they were from Chain Street on back in those days, all the way out around Clash, around Lily Bridge and all that. That was Italians, see? But anyway, I think you need to cover the pre-war period, and then you need to get the war. Because the war was when we like to have the melting pot for the first time.
Okay,
we got very close to the shadow of the melting pot. Now, it's true the melting pot didn't melt. But nevertheless, we had all those different ethnicities. And then we had the Southerners and the Blacks. It was as if they were following each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, because you see that fusion and confusion of all these ethnic groups coming into the place. And what kept them together was the fact that we were fighting Hitler, okay? And everybody was scared. So a lot of the whites who may have been prejudiced here would still say, oh, I used to know the color war because they was all scared of this war.
Uh-huh.
Well, the war gave blacks the first time opportunity and mass to work in the place. And the war also was the first time blacks did anything other than janitors.
Mm-hmm.
See, like Johnny Carter's father, when he got hired here, he was the first one went into paint or something like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But up then, all blacks had been janitors, material handlers, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, except Ford. Ford was the only place that hired blacks and put them in different categories, okay? Now, but nevertheless,
you know
Ford kept most blacks in the family. But there was some skilled jobs in the family, okay? Now, but this bringing together all these people started a certain kind of sociability there. And it was doing very fine. But then you see also that's when the route we're heading for the three come out of there.
Right.
Of all these polyglots. Out here by Christ, the Southern whites were sleeping three in one bed. For so many of them had brought the man and didn't bring the woman. And they were working, I work on the day shift, you come in on beds all out your inside, all right? And they also got on cast and third and all of that.
Yeah, I've read that before.
All right, well, that's true. So, but then the antagonism, people started pushing each other around, you know, each one was flexing their muscles, these different ethnic groups. And so the rebellion of 43 come out of there. Now, the rebellion had legs started with the RTFLI. I say it started 2 weeks before that at Eastwood Park. Because in Eastwood Park, they didn't want blacks to come in to hear Glenn Miller playing the band out there, okay? So they had a freckles out there because some black kids bought tickets, but they wouldn't let them come in and dance. See, it's that 8 Mile Road in that Eastwood Park is right there, that shopping center. And that people go out there for recreation. But the 2 weeks before the rebellion, they had a big conflict out there with the kids who wanted to go in and dance.
They were letting. So then they had letting us did, I think, a good wheel where some black cat had a fire, and the farmer told them to put the fire, and they wouldn't put the fire, and they had a riot out there. So there were these little incidents was taking place all through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it floated out here at Belle Isle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Sunday. I was, had been there myself that day with my wife and two and my mom. And I walked out of Belle Isle because when they started having trouble out there, they wouldn't bring no buses in there. Just everybody had to walk out that night. And I called the old Grand Belle Street and went all the way around to Oakland. Got out of the Oakland, come back down Oakland to Farmer. I was living at this time Farmer Bush, okay? Now, so I'm saying you need to cover that period. Because that period was the closer we got to a melting pot, and yet that was also the big division began to take place, okay? When it exploded in 43 days. Then that also was the beginning of Troy having a suburban population. Now, they didn't need to go to suburbs. But it began to build further out, okay? So the whites built out and went in new house. Now the real trick to that was on the FHA, would only give whites a month. Them houses didn't cost, now by the way, I worked on some of the houses, houses didn't cost $5,900, most of them. $5,500 was a real fancy house. That's all from beyond living on. Okay? Now, and then it began to go from Davidson up toward 8 Mile Road. All that was built. Coming out of that 43 base. 44, 45, 46, and then right after the war, just mushroom was building. Front and front out. All the west side was practically built. After the war, okay, all on FHA loans. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that then practically took things to a shape of Greenfield. And all up in there, began to build houses, all right? Now that was the first so-called suburban movement. It wasn't suburban, just for the building over the city of Troy. There wasn't no gaps in between. Now, so all that came out of two things, rebellion, the flexing of the muscles of the blacks inside, and the whites moving further out from building. So they began to build all out to the east of Troy. Build on the west side. I think most Italians stayed on East or right on. The West side was Jewish and other people. Okay? Now, I don't know what happened, excuse me. I get that smoking time. I don't know what happened with the Yugoslav and Bulgarian. I began to miss them. Now, some of them went down the river. And they back down there off of 75. Okay. But
some of them went to Hamtramck.
Yeah, maybe some went to Hamtramck. But see, Hamtramck always had a heavy just post.
But there's a Yugoslavian restaurant.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, they began to disappear in the city of Detroit, okay? Yeah, because we had up to give them checks. Yugoslavia quite knew something, okay? Now that period is, I call it mushrooming and expansion of Detroit and getting a bigger and bigger city of housing. And the beginning also of people gathering their individual house. And the last of the rooming episode. You know, some people still may room today, but the big rooming was on. Everybody from then on was either getting a house, apartment house. Okay, and the apartment houses were begging because the whites were leaving out the apartment house.
Okay,
because all these apartment houses, none of them were never built black, they was all built white, except these projects, okay? Bruce Project had been built as The Bruce Project was started in 36, so when I come in 37, he was just getting in Bruce Project, okay? Now, then it seemed to me the next area you're going to have to deal with would be, say, the 50s.
Okay.
Now, Detroit is still growing and spreading. Suburbs are now being developed, okay? And more whites are moving into individual homes in the suburbs. And blacks are replacing them in the areas where they live. Okay? Now blacks are moving in houses that formerly were owned by whites. I mean...
During the 50s?
Yeah. These are fairly pretty good houses, okay? Whereas before, if they moved the houses, they'd been owned by white. They were old houses, okay? Now, and that's the beginning of the mushrooming of blacks on the west side. The 50s. All right?
Then they started building expressways. Okay. The expressway was the beginning of breaking up all the black silent communities. Okay? And there was a lot wrote about that back in those days. What do we call it? Urban renewal, we call it Negro removal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that was that period in which the expressway became symbolized, people moving out. Okay? Now, then they tore down everything here from downtown all the way out to Mount A, practically.
Mm-hmm.
They just left MacDougall in there because it was a pretty good street. They tore down all the houses there. For years, we had vacant spots. Everything from, say, Lafayette to Mount A to downtown was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Grass was tall. And that lasts up till in the 60s.
Yeah, that was, you mean where Lafayette Park is now?
Yeah, that lasts up till just empty down there. Okay, nothing was there. I had a friend come in prepared, he could understand why so many people why the city would have so many empty lots.
Yeah, they couldn't agree what to do. First of all, they couldn't agree what to do with it.
Yes, all right.
But then they couldn't find the money.
Yes.
They couldn't find a developer.
All right. Now then, I guess by that time come the 60s, and you get the Nancy upheaval. And Nancy upheaval created the next great big exodus of white from the city. And then blacks flooding all over the city. That come with the 68 upheaval,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then blacks just mushroom in place to the city, place blacks said, now I didn't even know they was here. Because now they all the way up to 8 Mile Road on both sides
mm-hmm.
of the city, okay? So the 68 rebellion, we got to deal with this.
Right.
And what happened in the 68 rebellion, okay? And it began at the changing of the guard. And what I call changing of the guard, that is, blacks taking over more and more position now. It's the first time they took position. Up to then, they weren't taking position. Okay, 68
mm-hmm.
was beginning of black replacing white in political office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, we still living in an area at that time where any dummy could drop out of school in ninth grade, white or black, and get a job in the factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the boom is still going on and on, all right? And this lasted up to 1973.
Till 1973?
Yeah, that's 1973, black to steel. See, that's why drama, all you know about drama and all that stuff, don't you?
No.
You never read
drama. I
got a copy of that somewhere. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, after rebellion, see, drama come out, and drama was these black kids who could just go in the dark and terrorize the whole flat. They could do anything. They found they go out one day and come back and the next day the man have all over, because they just spread them, okay? Now, Triple A in action, and Elron and Nor and D-Ron and all them different names they had here from different flats. But what I'm saying is, that was all the steel wagon getting in the flats, okay?
What was the purpose of that?
Well, Drum was trying to say.
What did that, let me hear you, Smokey?
No, thank you. Drum was saying that it needed to make blacks farmers, superintendents, and so forth
mm-hmm.
and so on. They're trying to get blacks upgraded in plant. And also upgraded New England, because Drum was fighting New England too, because there wasn't any blacks as being nothing
mm-hmm.
higher than chief steward. They're saying blacks should be, committeemen and presidents
mm-hmm.
of locals and so forth and so forth. A thrust was made at that time for blacks to get higher in the New England and also higher in the political apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All this come after 68. Okay? Now, it came on a way, though, that because up to 68, there was still plenty of jobs.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All places were still fine.
Okay.
You quit one job and go get another. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yep.
Now, but 73 changed all that. Here, blacks is on the threshold of political power, but then the industry's gone. Yes, ma'am.
We don't have to pick up on him.
Why?
He's going to do something more than he's saying.
So he's coming direct?
Yeah.
So now you've got blacks coming in political power, but there's no longer jobs which they used to get.
Because the auto plants are moving to other locations.
The auto plants are closing down and moving out.
Okay.
And so since 73, we've got a growing number of blacks every year. All those who drop out of school and still out there on the street. That's why you got people 30, 35 years old and never work no place.
Do you
think... I was contradicting in that. Pardon me. because some of them, because they know a lot of them had had to spill the wet and feed in the plant. They wouldn't want to work the cheap wages.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't take your job. If you see a guy like that, 75-year-old, a man with me, because I can get, if I don't get at least $10 an hour, I ain't working.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In fact, there are some Chrysler employees who have been almost permanently laid off, are on the job. They're on work loan.
Work loan, please.
And they're at the Urban League.
That's right. And they
and they complain about their salaries,
mm-hmm.
and their salaries not doing anything.
It's way more.
Way more than mine.
That's right.
Salary, working 8 hours a day.
But they ain't going to work on no cheap job.
No, and they won't move.
That's
they won't move to another city because it doesn't pay as much.
That's right. And see, that's what I'm saying. They got hooked on that syndrome of being a factory worker. See, Rick Feldman's book, The End of the Line, covered that. Because he don't... Rick Feldman's book, The End of the Line.
Feldman?
Yes.
Rick Feldman's book, The End of the Line.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, copy. He's writing about four. Now see, my book, The American Revolution, is a good book up there, mostly by Christ.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I borrow one of these?
Wait a minute, I'm going to find you.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
Now, in this one, there's a lot of stuff you can get out of this, too. Okay.
Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Okay. I give books back.
All right.
So you can trust me.
Now, let's see. Let me see if I got anything else here about the book. Yeah. Oh, I bet I got it down in London. That is wrote by Selma Jane. Oh, but that's the first. Serious papers they ever wrote about the woman moving in this country, believe me.
Hmm.
Way back then. She was all, and this is the one that goes around the house where for wedding. She was still RJ's wife. The guy who we had in the mold out at Wayne Park. Okay? Now. But, let me think.